Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Mem. The rabbi was here yesterday for Shabbos. He left off on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the page. So today we are going to primarily continue our discussion of what happens when an Eved is Meshukhrar, what happens when you free a slave, how exactly it is that you free a slave. What happens if you do certain things to the slave or with a slave? Does that indicate that the slave is actually free? For example, what happens if you allow your slave to marry a free woman? What happens if you put your allow your slave to put on tefillin? What happens if you put tefillin on your slave? So do any of those activities, any of those actions with a slave show that you intend to free the slave? So again, much more in today's daf about the process of being Meshachrer, in Eved. That's going to take up really all of Amud Aleph. And when we get to Amud Beis, we're going to delve a little bit into the different types of Lashonos that a person can use in trying to declare that his slave is free. And we're going to see that some of the languages, some of the Lashonos are going to be indicative that the slave is actually freed. Some of them are not going to be indicative that the slave is free. And then we're going to say that all of those Lashonos are only effective when they're accompanied with an actual Shtar Shechur. So if you try to verbally free a slave, that's not going to be valid, but we'll see that as we draw close to the Mishnah on Mem on Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Lea Shalom. It's also sponsored by Henry Orlinsky, Lezecha Nishmas, his mother, Rachel Lea Baschayim Asher HaKoin, a survivor of the Holocaust who lost her family and with Henry's father built generations of Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot. We thank both sponsors very, very much for their sponsorship of the shiur. So again, Mirena left off yesterday, two lines up from the bottom, Lama Tesam Abeis, that's where we will pick up. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rebbe, Eved Shenasa es Bas Chorin Bifnei Rabo. Let's say you have an Eved who decides he's going to marry a Bas Chorin in front of his master. An Eved obviously is not allowed to marry a Bas Chorin, an Eved is only allowed to marry a Shivcha. This Eved went ahead and he married a Bas Chorin. They had a beautiful wedding right in front of the master. So the master was invited. So Yotza L'Cheira. So that this Eved obviously goes free. Why? Because Rashi says, De'ilav de'shachrarei, were it not for the fact that the master had freed the Eved, lo avi shavikle l'mintza Bas Chorin. He never would have allowed the Eved to marry a Bas Chorin, because the master knows that the Eved is mutter to marry only a Shivcha. The Eved is not mutter to marry a Bas Chorin. From the fact that the Eved went ahead and married the Bas Chorin in front of the master, in the master's presence, obviously, says Rashi, explaining the Gemara, it's obvious that he had already freed the Eved. And says the Mesoras Hashas, if you look at Os Aleph in the Mesoras Hashas on the right-hand side of the page, V'lo'od Elisha Kofenes Rabo V'kosov Lo Rabo Shtar Shechur, that we're going to force the Rav to write the Eved a Shtar Shechur. The question that the Rishonim ask on this Mesoras Hashas is, if the Gemara already said that if the Eved married a Bas Chorin in front of the master, then it's obvious that the master already freed the slave, so why exactly would we then require the master to go write a Shtar Shechur? Though the Gemara just said that we know he already freed the slave, because were it not for the fact that he already freed the slave, he wouldn't have let the slave marry a Bas Chorin. So what purpose does this Shtar Shechur serve now? So there's a Machlokas Rishonim. So the Yad Ramah says that it's Mikra Din that you have to write the Shtar Shechur. However, the Rosh says that it's not Mikra Din, that it's only so that the master doesn't later comment Taina that he was never Meshachwar the Eved. In other words, the Rosh says that this is really only for the Eved's protection. We know for sure the master freed the Eved. How do we know? Because if not for the fact that he had freed the Eved, he would never have let the Eved marry a Bas Chorin. However, what happens if 5 years down the road, the Eved needs to bring a raya that the master freed him, and they're going to say, oh, remember, he was at my wedding, and they're going to, we don't know that he was at your wedding. That's not going to serve as a valid proof. So in order to bring a proof, in order to protect the interests of the Eved, says the Rosh, we're going to make the master write him a Shtar Shechur. Whereas the Ad Ramah says, no, it's Mikra Din, that in connection, in conjunction with allowing the Eved to marry a Bas Chorin, we want to make it super clear that he's actually freeing the Eved. And in order to demonstrate with perfect clarity, unambiguously, that he's freeing the Eved, we're going to force him to write this Shtar Shechur. So says the Gemara on the top of Mem Amud Aleph, Samar Le Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Kach Yesh Biyotcha Vani Shoneh, that this is such a beautiful tradition from Rebbe, that if the Eved marries a Bas Chorin in the master's presence, he's Yotze L'Cheres. However, says Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Kach Yesh Biyotcha Vani Shoneh, Kosef Shtar Eresin L'Shevchaso, that if a person writes a shtar erusin l'shivchaso, so we're not talking about an eved anymore, we're talking about a regular Jewish person, but he has a shivcha who works for him. So if he writes a shtar erusin to his shivcha, telling his shivcha, I am going to be mitares with you, I am going to have erusin with you. So Rav Meir Omer Mekudeshes. So Rav Meir says the shivcha is that it's Mekudeshes, because obviously he intended to free the shivcha and then marry the shivcha as a bas chorin. The Chachamim Omerim ain't a Mekudeshes, and the Chachamim say that there is no kedushin here. Why is there no kedushin? Because she remains a shivcha, and a ben chorin can't marry a shivcha. So you brought down a sheet of Rebbe who says that if the Eved marries a Bas Chorin, it's a raya that the master freed the Eved, because he never would have let the Eved marry a Bas Chorin otherwise. Yet we have a machlokas. What happens if he himself marries a Shivcha? Is the marriage valid or is the marriage not valid? In order to say the marriage is valid, we have to say that he freed the Shivcha and made her into a Bas Chorin. So there is a shita that the marriage is valid, but that's the shita of Rav Meir. The Chachamim, who are the Drove, the Chachamim, who are the Rabbim, argue and say, no, the marriage is invalid because there is no Raya that he freed the maidservant. So if there's no Raya that he freed the maidservant, then L'chorah, we paskin like the Chachamim, and Rebbe should be paskining like the Chachamim. How come when the guy himself attempts to marry the Shivcha, it doesn't work? But when we say that the Eved marries a Bas Chorin, oh, it's a Raya that he freed the Eved. Why would that be the case? Says the Gemara, Kidyama Rabba Barshila, Kisharabo Eniach Lo Tfilin, Hachanami, Kisharabo Hisio Isha. So says Rabba Barshila like this, that we're not stam talking about a case where he watched his Eved marry a Bas Chorin, and we assume that he must have freed the Eved, because if not for the fact that he had freed the Eved, how would he allow his Eved to violate the halacha by marrying a Bas Chorin? Like we're going to see, the Gemara is making a reference to something that we're going to see in a couple of lines, like Sharabo Aniach Lo Tfilin. But it's not only that the master stood idly by while the slave conducted himself in a manner that reflected that he was a free man. The master actually facilitated the slave conducting himself in a way of a free man. So it's not only that he was at the wedding, it's he facilitated the wedding. He was the shadchan, he was the mesader kedushin over there by that wedding. So in that case, it's vadai that he freed the Eved, because there's no way that the master would have allowed the Eved to violate an Isser on his cheshben, with him instructing the Eved to do so, or with him facilitating the Eved being able to perform this Isser. So says the Gemara, whoa, hang on a second, we still have a machlokas over here, or an inconsistency, what the halacha is by the case of an Eved, where the Eved tries to marry a Bas Chorin, where we say obviously the Eved is free because the master is facilitating the marriage, whereas in the case where he's trying to marry his own Shivcha, we have Rav Meir saying that the Kedushin is valid, but the Chachamim saying the Kedushin is invalid, L'chora, because he never freed a Shivcha. So says the Gemara, for a slave, he's not going to allow a slave to marry a Bas Chorin, so obviously he freed the slave. But when he wants to marry his own Shivcha, we don't have the same, we don't apply the same principle. We're not going to say, oh, definitely he would never intend to marry a Shivcha, so obviously he freed the Shivcha, and therefore the Kedushin is going to be valid. Rav Yaakov Emden asks, he's not really bothered by the Gemara's Kasha, because Ein Adam Chote V'lo Lo, because a person is not going to sin unless he stands to benefit, and therefore this whole thing makes no sense, right? In other words, if he's not going to allow his Eved to sin, certainly he's not going to allow himself to sin. So the whole rationale here doesn't really make any sense. So says the Gemara, so Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hakav Maaskin, and Damar Lo Tzi'ibo Ve'eskachibo. Ah, over here what we're talking about is a situation we have to look at how exactly he gave over the Shtar Erusin to his Shifcha. That he gave a Shtar to the Shifcha and said, with this Shtar, go out Lecherus and be Mekudeshes to me with this Shtar. And this is the way Rashi explains. Rashi over here in the second wide line, Zibo Viskachibo Klomar Idomar Iskachibo Greda Vaday Shechra Meikara. The reason that there's a machlokes is because of the lashon that he uses. Because he says Zibo Viskachibo. If he stam said Iskachibo, if he gave her a regular Shtar Erusin, then certainly he freed the Shifcha Meikara from before. Aval Hashtar Diamar Lot Zibo Viskachibo Vizeh okay, so this is the Gemara's answer. Why, if when the Eved marries a Baskoran, we say, oh, he already freed the Eved, whereas when he tries to marry his Shifcha, we don't say that he already freed a Shifcha, l'chora, he would already free a Shifcha, because why would he want to violate an Isser? So the answer is, we know that he didn't already free the Shifcha, because the circumstantial evidence points that he didn't yet free the Shifcha. How do we know? Because he tries to give the Shifcha a Shtar that says, with this Shtar, you are going to go to Cherus and you are going to be Mikudeshes. So we know that he didn't already previously free the Shifcha. What then is the Machlokas, Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Rav Meir said that she is Mikudeshes, the Chachamim had said that she's not Mikudeshes. So Rav Meir Savar Yesh Balashan Azeh Lashan Shichrur, that when you say Tse'ibo V'Iskachibo, the Tse'ibo is go out L'Cherus. So Rav Meir says it is Mikudeshes because this is a Shtar Shichrur. For Rabbanan Savri, Ein Beloshna Zeh Lashon Shechrur, and the Rabbanan say that this is not a Lashon, that this is not a Lashon Shechrur. In other words, Seibo Vizkachibo, even though it sounds like go out somewhere and be Mekudeshes to me, and you could read into his words that he would never be Mekadesh Anisha, he would never give Kedushin to his Shivcha, were it not for the fact that he had already freed the Shivcha, this certainly stops short of an explicit Lashon of Shichrur, and therefore, according to the Chachamim, it's not going to work. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yishua ben Levi, Eved sheiniach tefillin b'fnei rabo yotza l'cheiras. That if an Eved puts on tefillin in front of his Rav, he goes out free. Why does he go out free? Rashi points out because it's not the derech of Avadim to put on tefillin. Why not? Because we already saw a couple of days ago that an Eved Kanani is mechayev and mitzvah is like an Isha. Tefillin is a mitzvah say shazman grama. Therefore, women don't put on tefillin. Therefore, an Eved who's mechuyev and mitzvahs like a woman wouldn't put on tefillin. If the Eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, it shows that he's doing more mitzvahs than a woman. So it's showing that he's doing mitzvahs that an Eved is not chayiv to do, and therefore he goes out free. So says the Gemara Meisve, but I'll ask you a kasha. Love, I'm in a rabbo. What if the master borrowed money from his slave, and the master would never borrow money from his slave if he were still a slave, because there is a halacha that masha kana eved kana rabo, that whatever assets the slave has, the master automatically has a kinyan in those assets. So if he were still a slave, there wouldn't be a reason for the master to borrow money from the slave, because whatever money the slave has already belongs to the master. Yet, this guy borrows money from his slave, osha so rabo apatrapas, or if the master made the slave an administrator, meaning he gave him a position of prominence, he gave him a position of importance, osha niach tefillin b'fnei rabo, or if he put on tefillin in front of his master, osha karosh lo shapsukim b'beisak nesas b'fnei rabo, or he got an aliyah in shul, hareze lo yotze l'cheres, this eved doesn't go free. So how could you tell me that an Eved she'aniach tefillin b'fnei rabo, that if an Eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, he goes free? I have a brisa that says that if the Eved puts on tefillin in front of his master, or if the Eved gets an aliyah in front of his master, he doesn't go free. And here's where the Gemara makes the ukimta that we referenced a couple of minutes ago. Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila kesher Rabba aniach lo tefillin. It's not only that the Eved put on tefillin in front of the master, but that the master put tefillin on the Eved. And because he's actively facilitating the performance of the mitzvah, that's a demonstration of the fact that he has obviously freed the Eved. What is it about putting on tefillin that shows that he actually freed the Eved? So if you look in Tosfos, which is the first full Tosfos on this Amud, Kesherabu Eniach Lo Tefillin, V'lo Mishom D'lo Me'eved Le Isura D'mevarech Aleihem. So what exactly is the demonstration of Cheiris? So says Tosfos, it's not that he's putting on tefillin. It's not that he's putting tefillin on the Eved and the Eved is making a bracha and that it's going to be a bracha levatala, vika bracha levatala, and it's going to be a bracha levatala for the Eved to make a bracha on the tefillin. Why would it be a bracha levatala? Because again, the Eved, if he's really an Eved, is not mechuyev in tefillin, because tefillin is a mitzvah asei shazman grama, and because it's a mitzvah asei shazman grama, it doesn't require a bracha. So if the master is reciting the bracha with the Eved while he's putting on tefillin, it shows obviously he's a free person. So that's not the reason why. The sukkah, lulav, is shofar, v'kama mitzvah asei shanasr mevarchos, because there's lulav, sukkah, shofar, there's a ton of mitzvah asei shazman grama that women perform during the year, and women make a bracha on those mitzvahs asei shazman grama. So it can't be the fact that demonstrates the cheiros can't be, oh, because he's not worried about the bracha levatala. Says Tosfos, wouldn't be a bracha levatala anyway, because the guy could still be an eved. He could still not be mechuyev in tefillin because of the mitzvah asei shazman grama. Yet he can make a bracha, just like every woman makes a bracha when she takes lulav and when she hears shofar and when she sits in the sukkah. And says Tosfos, elam yishum deinav adam regilim betefillin vilav deshachrei lo avimanachle. It's not about the bracha, it's about the tefillin. No eved puts on tefillin. So if the master is putting tefillin on his eved, it's obviously an indication that he freed the eved. So this is the shita of Tosfos, that women make brachas on mitzvah asei shazman grama. There's a famous shita of the Rambam that women do not make a bracha on mitzvah asei shazman grama because they're not allowed to say Vitzivanu, because they weren't commanded, because the mitzvah asei shazman grama, only men were commanded, the women weren't commanded. So a famous machlokas, and therefore Sephardi women don't make a bracha mitzvah asei shazman grama, Ashkenazi women do, but that's the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. But how exactly will Tosfos explain the nusach of the bracha, right? Because the bracha that the women make on the mitzvah asei shazman grama include asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav Vitzivanu, they weren't commanded because the mitzvah asei shazman grama. So there are a couple of approaches here. So one approach is that there might not be a mitzvah chiyuvis for women to perform mitzvah asei shazman grama, but it could be a mitzvah kiyumis if they perform the mitzvah. So because they're being mekayim a mitzvah kiyumis, even though there's no chiyuv, they could still say vitzivanu. Others explain that's the shita of the Chizkuni. Others explain that they could say vitzivanu because of arvas, because kol yisrael ma'arevim zelazeh, and therefore men are mitzuba in the mitzvah, and therefore the women can also say vitzivanu. That assists only a woman, but it doesn't assist an eved because there is no arvas by the eved. And therefore, some Rishonim point out that by a woman, at least, you know, the only ambiguous phrase or the only problematic phrase in the mitzvah is the vitzivanu. The eved vaday wouldn't be able to make the bracha because the text of the bracha is asher kedushanu b'mitzvosa vitzivanu. So certainly he doesn't have kedushas Yisrael, and therefore it would be a problem. But in any event, back to the Gemara. So what we were saying was that if the Eved puts on tefillin in front of the master, we had a mimer that said that the Eved goes free because obviously the master freed the Eved. We had another brisa that said that if the Eved puts on tefillin in front of the master, the Eved doesn't go free. We said, oh, we're talking about a case where the master put tefillin on the Eved. He affirmatively participated in the act of putting tefillin on the Eved. Therefore, it shows that he actually goes free, that he absolutely goes free. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Kiyosa Ravdimi Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishamer B'Shas Misaso, if a person says on his deathbed, Plonis Shivchasi, that so and so, my shivcha, al yishtabdu ba lacharmosi, do not force her to work after my death. Kofin as a yarshim, a kofin lo get shichrur. That we force the yarshim, and the yarshim have to write her a get shichrur. So Amar lefanav Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi, Rabbi iatamode shabanei avadim. But don't you agree that her children are avadim? Why would her children be avadim? Because Rashi points out that saying al yishtabduba, don't make her work hard, isn't a lashon of shikrur. That's not indicative of the fact that he's actually meshachrer the shivcha. It's not a lashon of hefker. Rather, what it's a lashon of is, I have a lot of akaras hatov, don't make her work too hard. In other words, she retains her status as a shivcha, only don't make her work too hard. And therefore, even though the yarshim have to be mekayim divrei ames, and they can't make her work hard, why would they have to write a shtar shichrur? In other words, why would they have to give up the rights that they have in the children of the shivcha? That's not what the master said. The master never used the lashon of b'meshachrer my shivcha. He said, don't make her work too hard. Okay, so you could not make her work too hard, but retain the kinyan isser, and therefore retain the kinyan in her kids. So says the Gemara now weiter. So kiyosa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rav Yochanan misha amar b'shash misaso. If a person said on his deathbed, plonish shivchasi, that so and so my shivcha koras ruach asali, she satisfied me, she gave me satisfaction. Yasela koras ruach. And therefore, I request that you give her satisfaction. So says the Gemara, Kofen es yarshim yosala koras ruach, that we force the yarshim and they have to give her koras ruach. What does it mean that they have to give her satisfaction? So Rashi says, if this woman is not going to derive satisfaction unless she is freed, then they have to free her, because this isn't like the lashon of al yishtabduba, don't make her work hard. Because you cannot make her work hard while at the same time retaining her status as a shivcha. But if the directive was not to make her not work hard, but rather you have to provide satisfaction, then we have to see what's going to provide satisfaction for her. And if the only thing that's going to provide satisfaction is if she's free, then they're going to have to go free. Why is that the case? Says the Gemara, "My taima mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames." It's because a mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. Okay, says the Gemara Navaiter about halfway down, Mem Amud Aleph. Samar HaMemar, HaMafkir Avdo Osa Eved Ein Lo Takana. If a person is mafkir his Eved, that Eved has no Takana. What does it mean, Ein Lo Takana? It means Legabe Nisuin. That he doesn't have a takana legabe nisuin, meaning he can't marry a free woman. The way Rashi interprets it is that he can't marry a free woman and he can't marry an eved. Why? Because the Rav was mafkir his eved, meaning he already gave up the kinyan mamon. We saw already in yesterday's daf and the prior dafim that the eved, that the master has two types of kinyanim in the eved. There's a kinyan mamon and a kinyan isser. You could only release the kinyan isser so long as you possess the kinyan mamon, because the kinyan isser can only be released hand in hand with the kinyan mamon. This master already released the kinyan mamon, therefore he lacks the capacity to release the kinyan isser. So this eved is stuck when it comes to nisuin. Tosfos happens to disagree. He says he's not stuck because he's considered to be an eved, because yeah, the kinyan mamon is gone, but the kinyan isser is still there, so he can marry a shivcha. So Tosfos says in a chanami, that is true. But when it says Oso Eved Ein Lo Takana, it means there is no Takana to permit him to marry a Bas Chorin, because the only way he can marry a Bas Chorin is if we get rid of the Kenyan Isser, but the master can't get rid of the Kenyan Isser because he has already relinquished his Kenyan Mammon. Says the Gemara, "My Taima Gufe Lakonile Isuri Diika Gabe," because he has only the Kenyan Mammon, he doesn't have the Kenyan, he has only the Kenyan Isser, he doesn't have the Kenyan Mammon because he was already Mafkir the Eved, and he still has the Kenyan Isser because he never wrote the Eved Ishtar Shechur. And he can't be Makne, the Kinyan Isser, to the Eved, because, as we said, you can only be Makne, the Kinyan Isser, when it comes along with a Kinyan Mammon. But this guy already relinquishes Kinyan Mammon. Says the Gemara, Amar Le Rav Ashi La Meimar, Vamar Ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Chia Baravin, Amar Rav, Echad Zeh, Vechad Zeh, Yatzal Lecheirus, Vetzorech Ket Shichrur, that both a Mafkir and a Maktish Avdo is Yatzal Lecheirus, and they require a Get Shichrur. So how can you tell me that the master can't write him a Get Shichrur if we have a Brisa that says, if you're Mafkir Avdo, Yatzal Lecheirus, Vetzorech Ket Shichrur, isn't it, in, doesn't that indicate that the master can write him a get shechur? Says the Gemara, no, you're misinterpreting the Braisa. Amar leit, sarich, vein lo takana. No, what we meant to say was that Amafkar Avdo requires a get shechur to get rid of the kinyan iser, but they can't get a get shechur because the master is ineligible to write him a get shechur because he already relinquished the kinyan mammon, and without the kinyan mammon, you cannot be makna the kinyan iser to the eved. Says the Gemara, Amar Amemra, Amafkar Avdo, Mace. If a person is mafker as eved and he dies, osa eved in lo takana. That eved doesn't have a takana in terms of marriage as well. He's stuck because he was already mafker the eved, meaning he relinquished his kinyan mammon. He never relinquished the kinyan iser. Now the question is, does the master's kinyan iser in the eved, does he inherit that to his kids? So my time, gufila konile, isuri dikabevi, sukra debre, lamaris, and his children are not yoresh, the kinyan iser, in the eved. And because the children are not yoresh, the kinyan iser, in the eved, there is nobody left with that kinyan iser who can release that kinyan iser. The master could have done it by writing a get shukra, but the master is dead, so that's not going to help the eved now. And therefore, we say also eved ein lo takana. Amar li Rav Ashi la meimar vaki yasa Rav Dimi amar Rav Yochanan. But when Rav Dimi amar Rav Yochanan came, he said that the yarshim have to write a get shukra. So if we're going to say that the yarshim have to write a get shukra, doesn't that prove that the Yershim inherit the kinyan iser and therefore they could write the get shechur? Says the Gemara, the Rav Dimi Tiyusa, that maimer of Rav Dimi claiming what Rav Yochanan said, that's a mistake. Samar lei, my tusa, he said, what's the mistake? Delo amra b'loshen shechur. It's only because he didn't say it in a loshen shechur. Ha amra b'loshen shechur, ha chanami. But had he said it in a loshen shechur, then they would have been able to write the shtar shechur. So says the Gemara, amar lei, anok Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yehuda sferi lei, I old like Rav Shmuel b'rei de Rav Yehuda. So what does that mean? So it's a slightly cryptic statement, but Rashi says, the amar lo amra Rav Yochanan kane. He said, in other words, Rav Yochanan never said this. Lo amra lo Rav Yami b'Rav Asi kane. V'kidin kamar yas. In other words, this mimer never happened. This is fake news that Rav Dimi said, Rav Dimi reported what Rav Yochanan said. But coming back to the brisa that we did have earlier in the sugya, that where he says to his children on his deathbed, this slave, this shifcha, did koras ruach for me, I want you to do koras ruach for her, that shows that he intends to vest in them the power to free the shifcha. So that is language that almost is expressly like he intends to give them the ability to free the shifcha, and therefore they do inherit the kinyan iser, and therefore they can write a shtar shichur for this shifcha, because he basically was expressed that he wanted this ability to pass down to his yarshim. Okay, says the Gemara now, next Maisa, three lines up from where the lines get wide. Hahu diskarta da avde. There was a settlement of avadim, this davin lovid kachavim, and that was sold to Oved Kochavim. So Kolu Marvasa Basroi, that the Oved Kochavim died. So in other words, all the masters died. So Asu Lekame de Ravina. So the Avadim came before Ravina. Amar le zilu ahadru avnei marvasa kama, that go back to your Jewish masters. In other words, go back to the people who sold you to the Akum to begin with. V'ichtuvu lo gita de Cherusa, and they should write you a get, and they should write you a get cheres. And the reason that he said that they should write you a get cheres is because when these Jews sold the avodim to the goyim, they only sold the kinyan mammon, but not the kinyan iser. Why? Because we already saw 2 days ago that when goyim can acquire from Jews, they can only require the kinyan peiros. They can't acquire a kinyan aguf. Right? They can only acquire with mammon, not with chazaka. We saw this a couple of days ago. So they only acquired a kinyan mammon, but they didn't acquire the kinyan iser. The kinyan iser remained vested in the original Jewish owners. So go to them and ask them to write you a shtar shechur. So Amar le Rabbanan le Ravina, but said the Rabbanan to Ravina, Vamar amemar amafkar avdu ameis, that if a person is mafkar is eved and he dies, osa eved ein lo takana. That eved doesn't have a takana. Why? Because the guy already relinquishes kinyan mammon, We've been saying the whole time, you can't relinquish a kinyan iser unless you're also in that act relinquishing your kinyan mamon. That's why if you already mafkir the eved and then died, that eved can never get a kinyan, he can never get the kinyan iser relinquished. And so too over here, these Jews already relinquished the kinyan mamon when they sold the eved, when they sold the avadim to the avdei kachavim. How could they then now relinquish the kinyan iser? Should have gone away. Samarli Ravana Luravina Vamara Memra Mafkrav do Mes also have any Latakana. Amarlu Anakravdimi Svirale. Oh, I old like Ravdimi. Ravdimi is the one who reported that Rav Yochanan said that they do have to, that the Yorshim do write a get shechwer. So I old like Ravdimi who says that even though the Kinyan Mammon has already gone away, you could still now relinquish the Kinyan Isser in a standalone transaction. Says the Gemara, Amar Lei to Rav Dimi to Yusuhu. But Rav Dimi was a mistake. In other words, Rav Dimi never said what we claimed he said. So Amar Lei, my Tuse, he said, what's the toast? Delo Amra Balashan Shikhrer. The toast was only because he didn't make very clear that he wanted to be Meshachrer then. Ha Amra Balashan Shikhrer. Hanami, had it not been, had he said Balashan Shikhrer, then Einachanami, then it would have been okay. V'ilchasa k'ravina, and the halacha is like Ravina, and therefore the halacha is like Ravina, that even though he already relinquished his kinyan mamon, he is able to relinquish his kinyan iser by now writing a standalone get shechver. Says the Gemara now four lines up from the bottom. Ahu avda de beitrei. There was an eved that was owned by two people. So kam chad minai v'shachrei lapalge. So one of the masters got up and he freed half the eved, meaning he relinquished his half of the ownership of the eved. Summary doch. So the other guy said, hashta shami be rabbanu namafzalu le minoi. Oh, now the rabbis are going to hear about this, that it's a chassi eved of a chassi ben chorin, and they're going to do me over. They're going to mess me over, because we're going to see in a couple of days that a chassi eved of a chassi ben chorin, we're going to kofenes rabbi Yosef ben Ben, we're going to force the master to make him a Ben Chorin. So this guy said, oh, my partner messed me over because he freed his part of the Eved. They're going to make me free my part of the Eved. But he wanted to put himself in a position where he was basically judgment proof. He wanted to put himself in a position where the rabbis couldn't force him to free his part of the Eved. So what did he do? So Azal Aknai Libno Katan. So he decided he was going to be Makna the Eved to his young son. And the rabbis certainly wouldn't force his minor son, they wouldn't be able to dispossess the ben katon of the rights in the Eved. So Shalcha Rav Yosef, Rei de Rabba, Lekaime de Rapapa. So they sent this maisa to Rapapa, and they said, wow, this guy tried to outsmart us, because his partner freed his share of the Eved. He knew that we were going to force him to free his own share of the Eved, so he went. He was makne to his minor son, to his ben katan. He knew that we weren't going to force the ben katan to free the Eved. So shalach le kasher asa keni asa lo gemula yashav la barosha. That just like he did, we're going to do one better. In other words, we're going to make sure that we have the last laugh here. So anan kimle biyanuka de makarva daite legabe zuzi. We know that this little child, he likes money, and so he likes money. So makmina la apotropos. So let's appoint an apotropos over the assets of this minor son. Flipping to mem amud beis. Umekarkish le zuze, and what we should do is we should appoint an apotropos to oversee all this. Let's make the Eved walk past this little kid. He's going to be jingling a bunch of coins in his pocket as he walks past. Because of Ladgita de Charuse, and the minor son is going to write a get cheres al shmei for the Eved. So what's going on here? So Rashi points out, the top Rashi, Mekarkish le'avda, the Eved walks by and he's jingling coins in his pocket. So Zuzi davar muat li'inuka. Then in other words, let's say the Eved is worth $100. It's not like the Eved is walking around with $100 of quarters in his pocket. It's a little bit of money. V'yitzruchu beis in l'kofo shu yishachru midaito. Again, the whole problem was that there was no way for beis to force the kid to free the Eved. But if the Eved walks past the kid with the coins and the kid hears the jangling coins, they're like, oh, I want the money. And then Beis Din will say, oh, if you want the money, you have to write a shtar shikhur to the Eved. So then the kid is going to be writing a shtar shikhur to the Eved, midaito. The Rashi goes on to say that we're not going to read all in Tzav, but Rashi goes on to say, well, there are two other qualifications here. Number one, the apotropos has to make sure that the kid actually gets the fair value of the Eved, right? Because it's not enough to give a couple of quarters to the kid and then force the kid to relinquish the Eved. The other thing, Rashi says, which is the bigger Rukimta, is that we have to be talking about a kid of a certain age, that there's a stage of maturation which the Gemara refers to as pe'utos, which the Gemara refers to as sort of like adolescence, maybe, that they're not quite bar mitzvah, they're not gedolim, but they're sophisticated enough, they're old enough and mature enough to understand commercial transactions. Because if you literally have a four-year-old, you're not going to be able to say, oh, you'll get the zuzim in exchange for the eved, and you're going to have to write a shtar shichra on your eved, because that kid is incapable of understanding even the ABCs of commercial transactions. So it has to be a pe'utos, because mekka mekach memkara memkar, says Rashi. But this is the way that they were going to outsmart this guy, by basically he tried to insulate himself from having the Eved, his share of the Eved, freed by being makne, his share, to his son. The Chachamim figured out a way to make the son free the share of the Eved as well. Because they entrapped him, as it were, enticed him with the money that the slave was holding in his pocket. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, second line down from the top. Tanu Rabbanan, Omer Asisi Ploni Avdi Ben Chorin. If a person says, I freed my Eved, Asli Ben Chorin, then he's believed and the Eved is free. Harehu ben Chorin, if he gives a declaration not in the past tense but in the present tense, it's like a proclamation, he is a ben Chorin, Harehu ben Chorin, then he's a ben Chorin. Asenu ben Chorin, if he says in the future tense, I will make him a ben Chorin, then Rebbe Omer Kona, v'chachamim Omer Lo Kona. The Rebbe says he is Kona, he is a ben Chorin, and the Chachamim say he is not a ben Chorin. The Chachamim say he's not a ben Chorin, Lo Kona. And the reason is, says Rashi, because according to the Shita of Rebbe, when he says Esenu ben Chorin, it's not really a future statement of, oh, I am eventually going to free him. It is a statement, it's a proclamation, a declaration, I am going to free him with this Shtar Shichur that I am about to give him right now. In other words, I am going to free him with this Shichur that I'm effectuating right now. And the Chachamim say, no, he's not free, because where does Rebbe see that when he says Esenu ben Chorin, it's a statement that I am going to make him a ben Chorin with the Shtar Shechor that I give him right now. It's tam, a future tense. It's a promise. Okay, it's a commitment. I'm going to make him a ben Chorin. So in the future, you're going to make him a ben Chorin, but it doesn't indicate that you're doing anything to him now. And therefore, the Chachamim say, it doesn't work. It's not effective. V'kulam b'shtar. However, all of this is only when it's accompanied with a shtar. Rashi says it's only when he wrote a shtar with one of these lashonos in the shtar. Either I made you a ben chorin or I am making you a ben chorin. However, if it's tam ba'amira, it is not going to work. Rashi says it's ineffective, and therefore, if there was only an amira, not a shtar, the master is allowed to retract on that statement, because that statement, that kinyan, was never formalized. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Tanu Rabbanan, a very similar discussion. Homer nasati sada plonis laploni. If a person says, oh, I gave a certain field to somebody else, nesuna laploni, then it's given to somebody else, because he says it in the past tense. Harei shalo, if a person says, oh, this field is not mine, it belongs to Reuven. Harei shalo, then it belongs to Reuven. Et nena laploni, if he says, I'm going to give it to Reuven. Rav Meir Omer Kana, Rav Meir says that he is Kona. If you look in the Gos Habach, he changes it to Rebbe, because Rebbe was the Bar Plukta in the previous Mimer. So Rebbe Yomar Kona, the Chachamim Amram Lo Kona. The Chachamim say, no, it's not Kona, because it's a commitment to do something in the future, but it doesn't indicate that he actually did anything now. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mekulam Bishtar. And again, over here, we say that it's only with a shtar. That these types of verbal declarations of kinyan are only effective when they're accompanied with a shtar. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Tanu Rabbanan, Omer Asisi Ploni Avdi Ben Chorin. If a person says, oh, I freed my Eved, Hu Omer Lo Asani. But the Eved says, no, you never gave me a shtar shechver. So chashinan shema zikalo ayideyacher. So we're afraid that the master actually did write a shtar shechver, but instead of giving it to the Eved, he gave it to somebody else. But zachan adam shelo b'fanav, and therefore the Eved is free. Tosfa says that chashinan is lavdafka. In other words, we know that this guy actually wrote a shtar shechver. He definitely, because the master wouldn't say, he wouldn't forget that he wrote a shtar shechver. So says the Gemara in Avaiter, kasafti v'nasati lo, but if he says very explicitly, I wrote a shtar shechver to the Eved, and I gave it to the Eved, vu amar lo kasavli v'lo nosan li, and the Eved says, I never got a shtar shechver from my master, so hodos baldin kamei edim dami, then hodos baldin is kamei edim. And in other words, what does that mean? So Rashi says, we believe the Eved, because the Eved is like the baldin. The Eved is saying, you never gave me the shtar shechver. So unlike the first case, where we say, oh, we believe that the master freed the Eved, but he gave the shtar shechver to somebody else, over here the master can't say he gave the shtar shechver to somebody else, because his whole time was, I gave you the shtar shechver. And if the Eved contradicts him and says, no, you never gave me the shtar shechver, we're going to believe the Eved, because it's in his own best interest, it's his own self-interest to admit it, but he denied it, and therefore we're going to believe the Eved. Similarly, Homer Nasati Sada Plonis Laploni, if a person said, I gave a certain field to somebody, to Ruvain, Vu Amer Lo Nasanli, and Ruvain says he never got the field, we're afraid that maybe the seller actually wrote a Shtar Mecher, he actually wrote a Shtar Mechira, and he gave it to somebody else through the principle of Zachin Adam Shalo Befonav. However, if he says, Kasafti v'nasati lo, if he claims that I wrote a shtar mechira and I gave it to the, and I gave it to you, and therefore you own the field, Hu amar lo kasav lo nasan, and he said, no, you never wrote it to me, you never gave it to me, Hodos baldin is kameya edim dami, then Hodos baldin is kameya edim. And therefore, and again, we can't say shema zichalo ayideyacher, because the whole taina of the former owner is, I wrote you a shtar and I gave you the shtar, therefore it's not going to work. Says the Gemara, mi ochal peros. Who eats the peros in the meantime, right? We're talking about a field, so the field generates produce. Who is entitled to the peros in the meantime? Rav Chista amar, nosin ochal peros. Rav Chista says, well, the nosin gets the peros, because what we said was, hodos baldin is kamei edim. We believe the recipient that he never received the field. So if we believe the recipient that he never received the field, then the putative mocher is the one who gets the peros. Rabba Omar Mishalshan is a peros. And Rabba says, no, we have to put the peros in the possession of a third party, and they basically sit there, Ashayava Eliyo, and Eliyo is going to tell us what the halacha is. Says the Gemara, Vlo Pligi, Habba Abba, Habba Bra, that when it's the father, when it's the recipient who is alive, who is contending with the putative seller, and the seller said, I gave you this field, and the recipient is alive himself and said, no, you didn't, then in that case, the mocher eats the peros, because we said, Ados Baldin Kamei Edim Dami. There was never a sale, there was never a transaction. However, where the recipient is dead, and it's his kids who are now saying, oh, you never gave our father the field, that's when Mishalshin has a peros, that's when we put the peros in the hands of a sholish, in the hands of a third party, because the kids never come with a taina as strong as the father, because they never know. Maybe the father actually did have the shtar mechira, maybe he lost it, and therefore we don't know in whose possession these peros ought to belong. All right, we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.